My dear friends in Christ, today we celebrate the feast of St. Stephen. And St. Stephen is called the proto-martyr. What does the proto-martyr mean? It means the first martyr. So after our Lord's ascension into heaven, St. Stephen was the first one to lay down his life for Christ. And who was St. Stephen? St. Stephen was one of the first seven deacons, and he was ordained especially to help with distributing the alms to the poor at that time, during the time of the apostles. But what we can find from the gospel and the epistle here today as well is that St. Stephen was also preaching. Preaching is also is an office of the deacons today. So if we had a deacon here in the parish, one of our seminarians, he could preach the sermon during Mass. But as we see St. Stephen in the case of the epistle today, what has happened? He has gotten into a dispute with the Jews, and he is defending and professing Christ. And it comes to the point where St. Stephen says that he looks up to heaven and he sees our Lord standing at the right hand of God. What St. Stephen is professing is that Jesus Christ is true God. And that really agitated, that really frustrated the Jews. We can read how they said they stopped their ears, they dragged him out of the synagogue, out of the city, and that is where they stoned him. And as St. Stephen is being stoned and put to death, what does he say? He says, Lord, receive my spirit. And then also he says, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. We should look to the example of St. Stephen and to all of the martyrs in the church and recognize how they bravely defended the faith, that they would lay down their life rather than deny the faith. And we too should take that to heart in our own lives, because there might come a time that where we have to lay down our lives to defend the faith. And how will we be able to stand such a persecution? How will we be able to profess the faith in the face of death? Well, first and foremost, let us do our very best to live a good Catholic life now. If we live a good Catholic life now, we will acquire the grace and the helps that we need to persevere in that trial, that persecution. Also, I want to mention, remember prayer. Remember to ask God the Holy Ghost for help. We can practice this even in our daily life now. Whether you go to a store or at your job or at school, if you have an opportunity to explain the Catholic faith to someone else, or you have an opportunity to help somebody else when it comes to the faith, first thing we should do is pray. We should ask God the Holy Ghost for guidance. What is the most prudent thing to say? What is the best thing to say in this situation? What do you want me to say? Because we want to be prudent, especially in how we come across to others when it comes to the faith. But we need God's grace to withstand any persecution. We need God's grace to profess the faith, especially when our life is on the line. And in doing so, Almighty God will be faithful, and He will help us and give us those graces that we need. Another practical piece of advice I like to give, especially if we're called that have to make a profession of the faith in spite of being persecuted or even in the face of death. Remember the Apostles' Creed. Every day when we pray the rosary, we pray the Apostles' Creed. The Apostles' Creed is a summary of our Catholic faith, the 12 articles of the Apostles' Creed. Even if we were put on trial and we were asked, what do you believe as a Catholic? We pray and ask God the Holy Ghost for help, and we can pray the Apostles' Creed. What a testimony to the faith would that be before those who persecute us or attack us? If God so wills that we lay down our life for the faith, God will provide us with the graces and the helps we need. But we need to be making sure that we're living a good Catholic life now. For if we live a good Catholic life now, God will certainly reward us with the graces we need during that time of persecution, if that is so His will. But I also want to draw some attention this week to the other saints and the other feasts that we celebrate. We have St. Stephen today as a great example of laying down his life for the Catholic faith. A great example for us. And so too, if we are ever called to do the same, that it will be by God's grace, by our cooperation with that grace. But there's other feasts this week as well that really we should try our best to learn more about or to gain more graces through them. This week is actually, we have an octave for Christmas. So Christmas is such a great feast. that one day is not enough to celebrate it. So between Christmas Day and the 1st of January, we have the 8 days of Christmas where we celebrate that octave, but there are special feasts. So today is St. Stephen. Tomorrow we celebrate the feast of St. John. And who is St. John? St. John was the beloved disciple of our Lord. St. John was that disciple who was able to rest his head on the shoulder, on the chest of our Lord at the Last Supper. St. John stood by our Blessed Mother when our Lord was crucified, when he died. Our Lord had given our Blessed Mother to St. John for him to care for her after his death. St. John has given us his gospel. In his gospel, he talks about the divinity of Christ. And also we see that with St. John, he's given us three epistles, and then also the Apocalypse. St. John has given us so much. In fact, St. John is also, he is known as a martyr as well. St. John was not actually martyred, but he was thrown into a cauldron or a boiling pot of oil, and he was miraculously preserved from death. So he is still known as a martyr, you know, even though he did not die in the boiling oil. But we can go to St. John, and we can especially imitate St. John in his devotion to our Blessed Mother. Why was St. John the only apostle who was standing by the foot of the cross when our Lord was suffering his passion and death? But it's because he stayed close to our Blessed Mother. What a great example that is for us. On Tuesday this week, we celebrate the Feast of the Holy Innocents. Who were the Holy Innocents? These were those infants who were put to death by Herod during the time in which our Lord was born. So the Magi were coming from the east, and they were following the star. The star was as foretold in the book of Numbers, that at the birth of the Messiah, a new star would appear. And the Magi studied the stars. They studied the scriptures as well. And they knew that the appearance of a new star would indicate that the Messiah, or a newborn king, would have come. The Magi were following the star from the east, and the star led them to Jerusalem. When the Magi got to Jerusalem, you can only imagine what was the impression upon the people who lived in that city. The Magi didn't just come with the three of them. The Magi brought all of their servants, their camels, the gifts, everything needed. There was like a whole train, you know, a large caravan came into Jerusalem. And what shock was on Herod's mind, or what we read in Scripture, Herod was troubled along with the other Jews in Jerusalem. Because here comes the kings from the east, as foretold in the book of Psalms. And they come and they say, where is the newborn king? We come to adore the newborn king. Where is he? Herod was very much concerned. He was very much threatened himself. Because he hears about a new king being born, a threat to his rule. So what Herod does, he asks the scripture scholars, at the time, where is this newborn king supposed to be born? Micaiah tells us that in Bethlehem. Herod comes back and he tells the Magi, go to Bethlehem and adore the newborn king and come back to me after you've done that and tell me where the newborn king has been born so that I may go and adore him as well. Well, Herod was not being honest. He wanted to know where the newborn king was at so that way he can go and kill him. As soon as he found out. After the Magi left and they were heading to Bethlehem, the star reappeared. The Magi went and they adored our Lord in Bethlehem. And then an angel had appeared to them and told them to go back to their home a different way. The angel told them, do not go back to Herod. When Herod had found out that the Magi tricked him, when Herod found out that the Magi didn't come back, he was infuriated. He was completely enraged. So much so that he sent his soldiers to go and kill every male child 2 years and younger. So church fathers teach that there was about 30 children who were put to death because Herod was trying to put to death the newborn king. Where was our Lord during this time? An angel had already appeared to St. Joseph and told him to flee into Egypt with our Blessed Mother and Christ child. So they were already in Egypt at this time. So they were... Our Lord escaped this persecution of Herod. But that is the feast we celebrate on Tuesday, the Holy Innocents, those infants that were put east of St. Thomas Becket. Who is St. Thomas Becket? He lived in the 1100s in England. He was the Bishop of Canterbury. He was put to death by Henry II because, as the bishop, St. Thomas Becket would not go along, would not approve what Henry II was doing in regards to some of the laws that he was putting in place. St. Thomas Becket was martyred in the church. There were soldiers who had come in, knights from France, who put him to death by the sword. On Friday, we celebrate the feast of St. Sylvester. St. Sylvester was the pope right after the Edict of Milan from 314 onwards. So he was the pope during the time of the Council of Nicaea. And finally, on Saturday, we celebrate the feast of the circumcision of our Lord. Why do I bring all of these things up? Why do I mention about the feasts for this coming week? Because especially during the octave of Christmas, the liturgy is so rich and full of information for us. There is so much for us to gain from it. There's so much that we can grow in regards to our faith. So what I recommend, if we are able to come to Mass during this time of the octave of Christmas, I would make it a point to do so. Because you gain so many more graces, so many more helps that you will need now in your daily life. And so too, at the end of our life, we are called upon to profess the faith despite being persecuted or at the cost of our life. We need to gain as many graces as we can now. If you're not able to make it to Mass during the week, pick up your missal. A lot of our missals, there's a little reading or a little writing about each of the days. So, for example, for the Feast of St. John tomorrow, your missal might have a few sentences about St. John. If nothing else, read that. If you can, before you leave today, grab a book out of the library. Maybe pick one of the saints or one of the feasts for this week. Try to take something home with you that can help you learn more about, you know, that particular saint or that particular feast day. It's such a great, good idea that during this time of Christmas that we really try our best to grow in our faith. Let us ask our Blessed Mother for help to do so. Ask God the Holy Ghost. For as I said, now is the time for us to increase in our faith. As the more we grow in faith, the more we will love Almighty God. Let us use our time well. Consider what St. Stephen said as he was being martyred. Lord, receive my spirit. St. Stephen also had said as he was being martyred, he said, Lord, lay not this sin to his charge. How was he able to do this? How is St. Stephen able to pray such as he's being stoned? To be stoned, I mean, is being martyred. How is he able to pray such during this time of great pain and suffering? Because of the grace of God. Because of God the Holy Ghost working in his soul. Because he lived a good Catholic life. So too for us, let us